Hey, this is David Kaufman here, the voice of Jimmy Olsen from Superman the Animated Series, and you are listening to Superman the Animated Podcast.
And welcome to Superman the Animated Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan McKenzie. In this podcast, I'm currently talking about Superman the Animated Series, which ran for three seasons comprising of 54 episodes, and currently we're talking about the third and final season. For this episode, I'm once again joined by one of the hosts of the Saturday Morning Superman Show, Mr. Stephen Biscotti. Stephen, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Nathan. I'm so excited to be doing another episode with you. I had so much fun doing Father's Day with you in the last season, and to be doing a new episode of Superman Animated Series. As I said pre-podcast, it was something that I was looking forward to all day. So thanks again for having me, and thank you for inviting me.
No, thank you for coming on board. And as you mentioned, yeah, our last episode was actually in June of last year. I can't believe how long ago it was, because we interact a lot on social media. It just feels like we're always chatting. So yeah, I was a bit weirded out when I saw the time frame. But yeah, June last year, and yeah, Father's Day. So a bit of a different episode, compared to what we were previously, but yeah. So those who don't know Stephen, firstly, stop right here, go and subscribe to his podcast. If you love Superman as much as I do, you absolutely love Stephen's podcast. He started off with Superman the Animated Series, then went into the Fleischer series with his co-host Justin, and you know, they break the episodes down and they do an amazing job. All the show notes, all the details will be in the show notes below. As I've mentioned, you know, when you've listened to Stephen's episodes, you'll know his passion for the character and for the episodes as a whole. And like I said, you'll just enjoy listening to their episodes as much as I do. So,
well, thank you so much. Doing the Saturday Morning Superman show has been really a dream come true for me. I love the animated series, and out of Superman animated series, it leads to so many other wonderful incarnations of the character in animation. And we've been really fortunate to just talk endlessly, what it feels like endlessly, about Superman animation across generations, which of course we say in every episode. And there's really something so special about the character and how you see him projected through animated series and the Fleischer theatrical shorts and, you know, all the way to, you know, the animated movies that have released. And it's always super fun to talk about it, no pun intended, with different people that love it as much as you do. And you're the premier person that celebrates Superman animated series. So it's always cool when we're able to, you know, meet and talk about it in a more public way, as opposed to when we just privately chat about the character.
So as I mentioned with Stephen's podcast, first of all, I almost go to the latest episode that he released not too long ago. And the reason why I'm so excited about to talk about this is Stephen had the joy of interviewing Tim Daly, so the voice of Superman. So how was that? I think we said prior to this episode starting, it was a little rumor at the start of the year. You mentioned on social media, and I clicked on straight away of who it might be, and I was so excited for you. Can you please tell us how the experience was of interviewing Tim Daly?
Of course. It's really beyond words when I think of the opportunities that I've had with the Saturday Morning Superman show, because it's a show that I really put together over the course of a summer. And I listen to, you know, podcasts such as yourself and DCAU Review and Batyard's Finest, all these really wonderful people, Geek of Steel, you know, another one. And it's just like the productions are so immense. And sometimes I think, well, like, yeah, I'm just like this, you know, guy that loves Superman. I'm recording it in like my bedroom, you know, and I'm surrounded by Superman. And so to have an opportunity like that, it's not lost on me. And something that I'm very fortunate to say that I was able to present on the show. I spoke to Tim Daly in March of 2021, and it was really special to be able to talk to him several months before the 25th anniversary, and just be able to hear what he had to say about the character, about his memories of you know, working on Superman the Animated Series, stuff that maybe he didn't take as seriously, that he wishes he could take seriously, you know, if he had the second opportunity to do it. And as soon as I recorded it, you know, I knew, well, I can't just release this now. I need to release this on the 25th anniversary. I have to, you know, make it a Saturday morning conversation, Saturday morning with Tim Daly. I have to do something like that. And you know, I was able to put something together that hopefully people have listened to. And if they haven't, hopefully they'll check it out on like Podbean and CastBox and Stitcher and Spotify and all those really wonderful podcasting services. And it's just a lot of fun to talk to the voice of Superman, the person who I think for so many of us, and this is no disrespect to George Newbern, but Tim Daly, you know, when you think of Superman, you know, in the 90s, it's Tim Daly. And when you're reading Superman, the comic books, I know myself, the voice that I hear is Tim Daly. And even when I just think of Superman, the first character, the first person or version of the character is really the animated series, which is Tim Daly. And it was super special. And he's such a really nice person who embodies every characteristic that we've come to associate with the Man of Steel. And the fact that he was giving with his time to sit down and talk to me was really, really special. He's surprisingly interactive, you know, in social media. So, you know, whenever you tag him and stuff, you know, if he sees it, you know, he's generally really good with responding and retweeting and liking and stuff like that. And it was very, very special to be able to do it. As me and him are both New York City residents, my sincerest hope is that we get to have a conversation in person, face to face. Because if for those that have listened to the podcast, he has a short series that he was doing on YouTube with his son, The Daily Show. And in it, one of their things is a little less douche. And so he has this bracelet, and he said that if we were doing it in person, he would give me the bracelet. So my hope is that we get to do it in person so I could get this little blue Superman bracelet that says a little less douche. It's really what I hope for. It's almost embarrassing to say it because I haven't even said that to anybody yet. But that's the thing that I want most in life, is to have that bracelet on, and it would complete my Superman collection. But yes, thank you for asking about that.
But that's nothing to be ashamed of. That'd be the biggest smile to my face, as I can see on your face right now. That'd be the biggest thrill, just receive anything from Tim Daly, let alone, you know, something that you've already spoken about. But I just love the fact that you sat on this interview for almost 6 months and you kept it to yourself, and you know, once you brought it online, I thought I don't know if I could wait that long to release. I'd be so excited. You've done really well. It was almost like listening to an old interview with Mark Hamill, how he found out about, you know, that Darth Vader was his father. You know, he had to sit on that. And then when they released it in film, you know, and Harrison Ford goes, you know, hey, kid, you never told me that. it almost brought me back to that.
Well, you know, if it adds any enjoyment to the story, I'll let you know that I didn't really tell anyone that I had done the episode or that I was speaking with Tim Daly. The only people that knew was my mom and dad. Cause they were home the day that, because I came, you know, I split my time between the apartment in New York City and my parents' home. And my parents' home is really where I prefer to do most of the recording, because it's quieter, it's suburban, you know, it's in Queens. Whereas the city, you know, you have just so much noise going off at all times. It's very hard to really isolate sound as much as you would hope. And so I did it, and they were very much aware that I was going to be speaking to Tim Daly. But once it was over, it was just like, nope, you gotta wait. You know, I didn't let my mom and dad hear it, and I know they wanted to, but they had to wait until September. And the same with my girlfriend, just you know, didn't listen to it, you know, knew that I had done it. But that was it. And I just sat on it. I think that's what made it so fun. It was just like, yep, I have it, I'm sitting on it. And and, you know, I teased it a few times, and that was it. And I think when I finally released it, I don't remember how I released it, but I know I didn't like really go all out with the promotion of it. And so initially there were people like yourself that had listened to it and knew that it was coming out that week. But then there were people in the following weeks of just like, you know, casual listeners who I'm really grateful for, where they were like, oh, wait a second, you had Tim Daly on the show? Like, how, like, you didn't even share this on your personal thing. And it was just like, yeah, I put it out and there it is. And it was a lot of fun.
No, like I said, I when the episode was announced for that week coming out, you know, I was in my car listening to it. I think I listened to it twice because that's how much I loved it so much. And, you know, I can just imagine you on the other end. Just, I reckon you'd have had the smile from ear to ear. He was probably looking at you, or I don't know if you had the opportunity to do video with him at all, but I reckon you would have just had a smile from ear to ear when you're talking to him the whole time. And I think he really would have appreciated having you talk to him.
It was really, really fun. There is a video. I'm in another I'm just stuttering because I'm so excited about this. But I was in a section of my room where I have all my Superman animated stuff behind me. And it was fun because one of the things that you don't really hear too much of in the episode, where I did edit it out, there were moments where he was pointing to stuff behind me and he was like, oh, you have this, or, oh, you have that. And talking about things that, like, I was showing, and it was like, oh, of course you have this. And I think I left that part in where we were talking about this Superman plush, this infamous Superman plush that he has from the Warner Brothers Studio store. And that made it to the episode. So you hear him refer to that, but you, of course, you don't see it. But there were moments where he was pointing to other things. And it was cool to see his excitement over seeing all these different Superman, the animated series things, which are, I mean, essentially him. And it was very cool.
No, that was great. And I think I have the same plush Superman outside in the lounge room, actually. So I love it. It's cool. So other than that, so what else have you been up to since we last spoke?
Wow. Since we last spoke, I've just been, you know, celebrating Superman as much as I can. For anybody that follows the Saturday Morning Superman show, I feel like you'll understand that it's hopefully one of the most enjoyable shows amongst several great shows that are out there, but it also might be one of the most frustrating shows because we'll release episodes at a time and then there are these long gaps where we'll complete a season, but then you just have to wait indefinitely, almost like the way Netflix will put out Stranger Things and then you have to wait like 5 years for the following season and then everybody looks so much older. So I appreciate everybody that's been as supportive of Superman and Saturday Morning Superman show and just for sticking with it. Since we last spoke, Justin, my co-host, my friend Joe Grudensky, who's the co-founder of Universal Monsters Universe with me, we've been recording a multitude of episodes for the Saturday Morning Superman show that pretty much extends well into season four. So we have season three and season four recorded. We started to do different things where we were trying to add in more sounds. Now, Justin is a person who really mixes the show. So on the episodes that sound really, really good, that's definitely Justin who's behind it. And episodes that sound just okay, that's definitely me behind it. And we've been having a lot of fun really reimmersing ourselves in that world of Superman in animation. And so we've done Superman animated series nearly to completion, along with talking about Superman and Lois and kind of jumping into other different territories that we enjoy. And aside from that, I just, you know, anybody that follows me personally knows that, like, I love biking and doing all that kind of stuff. So, you know, hopefully when Saturday Morning Superman show returns in like 15 years, I'll be as big as Henry Cavill was in Man of Steel.
But it's funny, even when I started recording for this podcast, you forget that season one, you know, for the series is 13 episodes, you know, and for yourself, you did season one of Superman, the animated series. Then you went off and did the Fleischer cartoons for season two of your podcast. But then you forget that season two of Superman, the animated series is 26 episodes. And you go, well, you know, then you understand now why it takes so long. Like I said, you pre-record your episodes in advance, so you understand why it's taken that long to do it. So I completely understand where you're coming from.
Oh, I appreciate it. I feel like anybody that's had a podcast, especially such as yourself, where you've been doing it for such a while, that it does take time to really go through the episodes. And especially, you know, when you love the character as much as we do, and you love the series as much as we do, you know that there's an it's almost like there's this calling to really add something worth, you know, adding to the conversations that have happened regarding, you know, Superman the animated series or Fleischer or any of the incarnations of the character that we enjoy. And for me, I'm always thinking about, well, if I'm going to talk about Ruby Spears, the 80s Superman animated series, and there haven't been many other people that have spoken about it, what's the thing that I can say about the character that will really make it worthwhile for a Superman fan to listen to and think, wow, that was really educational, or that was a lot of fun. Like, I enjoyed listening to that. And I know there are people out there, and no one really within our community, but I know there's a lot of people that podcast and they throw stuff together and it's all right. But it's just when you're dealing with something like Superman, and I don't know if this is an overblown sense of importance or narcissism, but I just feel like, you know, you really want to add something really meaningful to the conversation. It's a character that's been around for so long. And in regards to Superman the animated series, it just celebrated its 25th anniversary. And the fact that there are people that still want to talk about it, and there are people that actually want to hear what other people have to say about it, I find that, like, okay, I can just talk about the episode, but if there's something that I can bring in regarding the animation studio or something that Bruce Timm had said, I'd like to do that, because I know that if I was a fan and I was listening to something, you know, I want to learn something about the character that maybe I didn't already know, or maybe I want to hear an idea about the character, like when you were talking about the episode Unity that you had recorded, that you just want to get a different perspective on it that maybe you didn't necessarily have. And I really applaud all the work that you do in service to Superman, because you really love the character and it shows in the work that you put out. And hopefully, you know, with Saturday Morning Superman show, we're able to do the same, but it does take time. And, and we like to definitely record everything to completion, you know, 13 episodes or 26 episodes, you know, over the course of like a few months, and then hold on to that, because we know when we start releasing them, you know, we want to release them, you know, once a week, and we don't want to just put out an episode and then say, all right, we put out episode one and now Last Son of Krypton part two won't be for another 2 months, because, you know, it's hard to really maintain the momentum and the excitement. And sometimes, unfortunately, you lose it. And fortunately for us, we live and we work within an environment where the content is evergreen and you could continually go back to it. But people do like, you know, their stream of content. So when we're going. And when we slow down, hopefully there'll be enough material for people to go back to and enjoy another podcast such as yourself that people can then, you know, check out and listen to while they wait for new episodes of another podcast.
Oh, exactly. And thank you very much for those kind words throughout that. And I do the same to yourself. Like, I love your passion for the character, as I've said multiple times. And I love the fact that you take the time to, you know, talk about the character in detail. And that just shows, you know, everyone talks about just rushing into things, but I love the fact that you gather all the information first before you dive into it. And what you spoke about before is something that I've learned now with regards to releasing season three on my podcast, is that I was totally out of my depth when I first started recording these season two and season one of Superman the Animated Podcast, when I released one episode and then work and life would get in the road and, like, you know, have like three, four weeks in between episodes, and I didn't think I was doing the right thing by, you know, those passionate fans that are lucky enough to listen to my podcast, and I thought I need to do the right thing by them, and by season three I need to jump the gun, record episodes early, and that way I can release them week at a time. So yeah, I've learned that from yourself, and that's what I'm going to do moving forward in the future as well.
Yeah, it's just, I think it works out sometimes for the better that way. And I know that such as yourself, you know, when you put in work into something, you just want to make sure that, you know, it gets out there in the best way. And also, you know, another thing that I like to remind myself about, especially in doing like Superman the Animated Series, is the fact that, like, you know, there's nobody that's requiring it has to be out by a certain point. And when it's ready, it's ready. And when I feel comfortable to put out an episode, the episode will come out. And we're so grateful that we have people that will continually just say, oh, when is the next episode? Or, oh, I just listened to this and this was wonderful. And that always really makes it so worthwhile.
No, exactly. Are you planning ahead for next year with regards to whenever they're going to release the new animated series? Have you looked at the pictures and are you getting excited behind that?
I absolutely am. As anybody that listens to the Saturday Morning Superman show, it's, hi, I'm Steven. You're listening to Saturday Morning Superman show, your podcast about Superman and animation across generations. And that's the whole key thing, that, you know, we're not just talking about Superman the animated series or the Fleischer theatrical shorts, but our goal, especially my dream, is to at some point definitively cover everything Superman in animation, from, you know, Super Friends to Justice League to the DC Animated Universe movies. And so with that, you know, when My Adventures with Superman premieres on HBO Max, my full plan is to do a whole podcast season on that show. And I've almost used Superman and Lois on the CW as a practice run for My Adventures with Superman, because I don't really know how they'll release episodes. I'm imagining with it being HBO Max, they'll probably release like 2 a week and then they'll go to 1 a week. I think that's normally how they release them, but it's definitely not all at once like Netflix. So I'm really excited for that because, one, this is our first solo Superman animated series that we've had since Superman animated series. But I think it's a wonderful take on the character. I think the voice cast from Alice Slee as Lois Lane to Jack Quaid as Clark Kent Superman is very inspired, especially Jack Quaid, somebody that I never, you know, would have thought that amongst many of the wonderfully talented people out there would be the voice of Superman. And I think that that's what makes it so exciting to think about, oh, well, what is he going to bring to this character, especially that it's supposed to be a 20-something Clark Kent and in the early days of Superman. So I can't wait for it. I like the style of the animation. I think it's very different. And it's something that, you know, I do find myself thinking about quite a bit, and I can imagine that when the show gets closer, you're going to see a lot of it, you know, from the likes of you and me on Twitter and Instagram and on our podcast.
No, that's just it. And I love the fact that there's going to be a new reincarnation, you know, of the Man of Steel on animation that we've never seen. Like, I wasn't lucky enough to watch it, you know, live here in Australia. I didn't get to see it until the mid-2000s when they started releasing it in 06. So I'm loving the fact that, you know, even though of my age now, but I'm still getting very excited, you know, when this comes out. And hopefully we're lucky enough to have it here in Australia. We're like, you know, we haven't got HBO Max, but we've got other streaming services. We're lucky enough to have Superman and Lois, which we got pretty much straight after you guys over there in the States. So, yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to talking about something that's actually out now rather than something that happened 25 years ago. So I'm excited for that. And, I like the fact when, you jumped on the Superman and Lois, you know, you did the, you know, respective, you know, correspondence after the episodes. I like how you guys started going down that stream as well. And it also gets you ready for that when Superman the animated series comes out next year or the year after. So I like the fact that you're getting your bit of a taste test for it.
Oh, absolutely. The second, you know, it was announced, that was one of those things where immediately, you know, I had to share about it, you know, on Twitter and Instagram and talk about it on the podcast. And I kind of want to make mention of the fact that, so prior to doing Saturday Morning Superman show, my main thing was running Universal Monsters Universe, the blog, the Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, and all of that. And so one of the things that I really learned from back in 2016, when we launched it, as we were chronicling the production of The Mummy, and then into 2019 with the production of The Invisible Man, was that, you know, as soon as news would break, you know, it would be writing up a news article and posting about the news article or sharing a photo or behind the scenes image or the first, you know, trailer and all that kind of stuff. And it's interesting because in the way that the Superman news happens now, from, you know, the Ta-Nehisi Coates, J.J. Abrams movie to Zack Snyder's Justice League to My Adventures with Superman, which is coming to HBO Max, hopefully sometime in 2022. It's that I don't have to write an article this time around, but now it's like, I got a podcast about this and I got to record an episode to get this out. And it's been a lot of fun talking about it, especially as the news breaks. And Superman stuff's a little bit far and few between news-wise, but just with DC fandom, when we got an additional look at the animation and the character breakdowns for Superman, for Clark Kent, Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, I was really excited to share it. And I probably didn't even talk about it as much as I should have, but I totally, totally agree with you that it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about something recent. We had a taste of that with Superman Man of Tomorrow, the animated movie. But it's going to be really cool to see, you know, what you have to say about it and for myself to talk about it. And doing Superman and Lois on a weekly basis is almost kind of like the getting ready for the marathon. You know, we're just kind of training for it right now. That's nothing. But when my adventures with Superman happens, and that being really the first Superman animated series that we've had in a good long time, that's going to be very important, I think, for all of us to celebrate as much as we can, because it's going to be just so important in the overall legacy of the character.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love the fact that they're, like I said, they're having a new taste on how they're going to present the characters. And I can't wait for it either. I just, anything with Superman in it. Obviously, I know you and I are going to be there front and center to watch, but I love the fact that now we're going to have the opportunity to talk about it, and I can't wait to hear everyone else's views and takes on it as well.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting because, you know, not only are there fans like us that we're a little older now and we definitely like what we like and there are things that we don't like. You know, I know we're not the biggest fans of like the evil version of Superman, and I know this is definitely not that. But there are so many other people that have been influenced by, you know, the likes of, you know, Injustice and all these other versions of Superman that when they watch this, you know, there are going to be people that undoubtedly love it. And there are going to be people that are going to say, well, this isn't really quite the Superman that I wanted to see. And I always welcome that because it's just that there's so many things to take from in this character's rich, diverse history that, you know, if you don't really like Christopher Reeve, you have Henry Cavill. And if you don't really like Henry Cavill, you have Brandon Routh. And then, you know, you got Dean Cain and Tyler Hoechlin and cartoons and different artists. And there's just so much to really say, well, this is a Superman that I like.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it fun, that everybody kind of has their own unique taste, but all in celebration of the same character.
Yeah, and that's just it, Steve. Is like, I think I asked this question for you last time we were on the podcast together, but, you know, normally ask, what is your favorite Superman, being TV shows, you know, movies and the like? But there's never a wrong answer because, like you said, there's so many different versions out there, and some people change as well over time. Like for me, Christopher Reeve still will always be my favorite Superman, but I have a different version of each media. So, you know, in the movies, it's Christopher Reeve, in the animated, it's Tim Daly, and the TV shows, it's Dean Cain, mainly because that's just the way I'm more about nostalgia than anything else. But I guarantee Tyler Hoechlin's going to be my favorite TV version of the characters, you know, probably in a couple of years' time, just the fact that that's more of today, whereas, you know, but for me, it's more about nostalgia reasons at the moment, but not to say that they're, and to be honest, they're obviously not the best versions of the characters in those mediums, but for me, they are, because like I said, nostalgia brings a lot into it for myself.
Oh, of course. And I think that that's such an important thing because it's that, you know, when you're looking at a character that's as positively mythological as Superman, you know, he means so many things to so many different people. And, you know, with nostalgia, you know, be it with the character that you grew up with or when you ended up reading about him or watching him or, you know, being introduced to the character at a different point in your life, of course, that's going to mean a lot. I, for myself, you know, my favorite version of Superman on film is Henry Cavill. And I love, you know, Zack Snyder. He's one of my favorite directors, and Man of Steel's one of my favorite movies. It's right up there with The Matrix for me. Those are probably my two favorite movies of all time. And I love Batman versus Superman. And I really love Zack Snyder's Justice League. But I also was somebody that I grew up with Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. And so while I, you know, I'm 32, so I grew up within the shadow of the Christopher Reeve movies. So the Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, those Batman movies were more relevant to me because they were coming out and I was able to see them in the movie theaters. Whereas the Christopher Reeve movies, I was a little bit removed from. So I enjoyed them and I knew of them, but it was a little more arm's length for me. Whereas Dean Cain was the Superman that I watched on a weekly basis, and Terry Hatcher was my Lois Lane. And then, you know, going forward, you had Brandon Routh and Kate Bosworth, who I think were wonderful, but so much of that was just like, nope, Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher. And then, you know, you have the different versions that come along. And so I think that that's important to just kind of recognize because it just, you know, there's something so special about when it speaks to somebody individually and to know that there's so many different people that have played the character on screen or have brought the character to life in animation. It's a performance that you're celebrating. And for me, it's kind of like, yes, you know, you love Man of Steel. You love, you know, Superman, the movie, but it's also the performance of Christopher Reeve or Henry Cavill or Dean Cain that you really appreciate. And it's almost a celebration of the actor and their craft in what they brought to the character. And, you know, not to really go off on a tangent, but I'm a big Hercules fan. And my Hercules was Kevin Sorbo. I watched that religiously on a weekly basis. I loved Hercules, The Legendary Journeys as a kid. And around that time, Disney put out the Hercules movie. And I just really wasn't interested in seeing it because for me, Hercules was Kevin Sorbo. Mm. But it was a few summers ago that I finally saw Hercules, the Disney film, and I fell in love with it. It became one of my favorite Disney movies of all time, to the point now that I love Hercules, the movie, just as much as The Legendary Journeys, if not maybe a little bit more than The Legendary Journey on television. And it's just that it's what Kevin Sorbo brought to the character, what Tate Donovan brought to the character. That's just, they did something really special with a mythological character. They left their own imprint on the character, and it speaks to you. And it's the same with Superman. And it's just wonderful that, again, we're so fortunate to have so many different people to play them that we can all kind of look to and be inspired by and be challenged to think about the character in a different way.
Yeah, and as we discussed, there's a Superman out there for everybody. And you don't have to be one of those ones that I don't like that one. I don't, you know, you just have to love the fact that there is one out there for everybody and just appreciate that there's so many to choose from, being the comic books as well. And that'll continue to change on a growing basis, probably when you get a little bit older and maybe change over time. But yeah, I just love the fact we've got so many versions of the character and we'll continue to love them just as much as we have in their past.
Of course. Sometimes people ask me like, what do you think about Superman in the comics, or what do you think about what they're doing with him in the movies, and almost expecting me to say, well, like, yeah, no, I'm not a Superman fan anymore. I'm throwing out all my Superman shirts. Never again will I like this character. And it's like, no, I love what they're doing with the character. I think it's great. You know, there's so many different things to be said through the character and to be said of the character. And just the fact that, you know, we're getting to read all these different versions of Superman, from Clark Kent to Jonathan Kent, to seeing, you know, two Clark Kents on screen with Tyler Hoechlin and Henry Cavill. There's a lot to be excited by. And yeah. Doesn't matter who plays the character or who is the next person to represent him on page or on screen or in animation. It's the character and the S that really, that's the thing. That's the emblem. That's the icon. And as long as it's a character, you know, man or woman lifting a car, using heat vision, flying around, and exhibiting the ideals of what this Kryptonian means, I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, so like, I my last thing that I'd like to say is just like Sasha Kaye. I cannot wait for her as Supergirl. And I know, unfortunately, there are people that are naysayers, and it's like, you're getting Supergirl in 2022 on the big screen. She's going to look so cool. The suit looks great. And as long as she's lifting cars, using super strength, heat vision, and all of that, well, I don't want anything else. I could watch that. I don't care who it is. I could watch that for 2 hours of just her using heat vision. And it's like, yep, I'm a kid again.
Exactly. And I'm so looking forward to the Flash movie, especially the fact that it's got her in it. It's got, you know, Michael Keaton returns as Batman. Ben Affleck's going to be in there for a little bit as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they all come together and just seeing the little snippets from the DC fandom and the trailer. Well, it wasn't really a trailer. It was more of a couple of scenes here and there. But yeah, and just seeing any of the characters from that wear that symbol. It even brought me back to recently that a lot of people starting talking about the original 84 Supergirl movie as well. So, you know, and there's a lot of hatred for that movie, and we all know, you know, good and bad things about it. But, you know, Helen Slater, who played Supergirl, was absolutely fantastic. And I think Sasha's going to do the same thing for the character on the big screen next year. And I can't wait either.
I completely agree. And I like how you said, I like how you made that, you added that thing about Supergirl, the movie, where it's just like there were good things to be said of it, there are bad things to be said of it. But ultimately, you know, Helen Slater, bringing to life the iconography of Supergirl. You know, you look at just behind publicity shots of just her in the outfit, and it's just like, wow, that's so cool. And I think about Melissa Benoist a lot, especially as she just finished her tenure as Supergirl. And you know, I have a small little shelf that's dedicated just to her in my collection, and it's just thinking about, you know, what she did with the character was remarkable. I still stand by season one essentially being a live action version of Superman, the animated series. Yeah. Supergirl season one, I think, is the best, because it's just, there were stories that were being ripped right from the animated series. And it was just, wow, we're seeing this in live action. And when Sasha does her thing and hopefully gets a movie or her own show on, you know, HBO Max or wherever, it's just going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly. And bring on 2022 is all I can say.
Completely. We have a lot to look forward to.
That we do. And especially we got a lot to look forward to today as we talk about Superman, the animated series episode titled Absolute Power. So the episode aired on the 16th of January, 1999, and was directed by Butch Lukic and was written by Hilary J. Bader and Alan Burnett. Returning voice actors for this episode include, say, Tim Daly as Superman Clark Kent, Ron Perlman returns as Jack Sir. So Carl Lumbly is in this episode. And I love Carl Lumbly. Obviously, we all know who he turns out to be in Justice League as a Martian Manhunter. But in this episode, he's voicing Ultras. Another couple of voice actors returning is Steve McGowan, Michael Donovan, and Jennifer Hale. They're all coming back, returning different voices throughout this episode. But one thing I wanted to bring up, so going back to season two, the start of season two is a blast from the past. You know, Leslie Easterbrook voiced Marla, you know, and my remembrance of Leslie was from Police Academy movies. And, you know, so watching those two episodes, yep, I can definitely see her as that character. But I love the fact that they've, and I'll ask you a little bit later, you know, it'd be interesting to see whether they couldn't get Sarah Douglas, who voices Marla in this episode. It'd be interesting to see if they try to get her for those episodes or they're just lucky enough to get her for this one.
Yeah, it was actually very interesting because, you know, Marla, of course, you know, she's a character that's very clearly inspired by Ursa. And so to have, you know, Sarah Douglas voice the character, it's really exciting to think, wow, you know, Ursa from the live action, you know, Superman, the movie Superman 2 is now voiced in the cartoon. And it makes this episode, I think, even just a little bit more special.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you're going to watch it from your end, I think you said, Steve. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to talk about it as we go. So happy for you to stop and start as you see fit. And I'll just talk along with it. And if you need me to slow down, let me know and we'll... just have a bit of fun.
Sure, take it away.
All right, so Stephen pressed play at his end. So the episode starts off in space. So Superman's flying around in his rocket, you know, the one that brought him to Earth from Krypton. I love the fact that he's wearing his spaceship that Star Labs designed. So the first thing I want to ask, Steve, is so we see a lot of different designs for Superman animated series that Star Labs, you know, built for Superman. We have the space suit. We have the anti-kryptonite suit that doesn't really work because Metallo always seems to get the upper hand. But also we see the scuba suit. Do you have a favorite?
I absolutely do. And it's the Neutron Star Superman suit. I love that Tim Daly and Alan Burnett and Paul Dini are they don't shy away from the fact that because of the toy deal with, what was it, like Kenner or Hasbro that was doing, or Mattel that was doing the Superman animated series action figure line, there were a lot of designs that made it to the show, which was because of the explicit purpose that there were going to be action figures. So Superman needed to be in a suit because it needed to sell an action figure. And, you know, when you think of Superman flying in space, it's like, but does he really need a space suit? And no. And like when Superman's going like deep diving, like, does he really need like a scuba suit? No, he doesn't. But the suit designs are so cool. It almost adds a little bit of a James Bond kind of quality to Superman the animated series. And the fact that you see him use a lot more gadgets in a way that you've never seen him previously use in any incarnation of the character. Something that I know you are very well aware of, that like on my trim along the room, I have every Superman animated series action figure. And the one that I enjoy looking at the most is the Neutron Star Superman suit. I love that it's this very, you know, aeronautic NASA looking white outfit. And it's just, it looks like a cool spacesuit. And it's definitely more science fiction-y than the other suits. And I feel like Superman's a science fiction character. He's an alien. And the fact that they're able to lean into the sci-fi-ness of the show and give him this space suit, it just really looks very cool. The Neutron Star Superman is the name of the action figure. So okay. I will dub it Neutron Star outfit or super suit. I really like that. That's my favorite.
I just love the fact that, and as you know, you truly pointed out, the fact that they obviously designed these suits so they could bring out more action figures. But the scuba suit I could never understand with regards to, you know, and I think in one of the episodes, I can't remember the exact name of it, you know, Maggie Sawyer has, you know, she's going down in the ocean with Superman and she's got her own suit. So it's almost like they, all right, let's design both suits. Let's make sure we put the house of, you know, the S on his suit anyway, just to make sure, because we don't know that Superman, by the way, but I just love the fact that, yeah, let's make another suit. And yeah, if you're going to make money off it, then I completely understand. But the fact that you're lucky enough to get those action figures, I think is fantastic.
Yeah, I have to, let's see. Okay, so the Superman Neutron Star suit, I see, and there's a whole bunch of them, and they're just great looking action figures.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just it. If it appeals to you as a buyer as well, that's even the better.
Oh, completely. And, you know, I'd like to point out the fact that, you know, I follow a lot of different toy collector and toy collector pages, you know, on Instagram. And there's so many people that really widely celebrate the Mattel or Kenner. It was Kenner or Mattel. I feel like I shouldn't be getting this wrong right now. but there are a lot of people that widely celebrate the Batman animated series toy line as, you know, like if you're going to collect Batman, you need every single action figure from this. And now there really weren't that many Superman animated series figures, but the design is just so cool. And I feel like, you know, it's definitely one of those 90s toy lines that you definitely have to go out and pick up, you know, even if you just have one figure. You know, maybe you don't need the Superman conversion coupe or or, you know, like the what is it, like anti-claw Superman or whatever. But, you know, a quick change Superman, yeah, you could definitely have him in the collection. You know, a Mattello or a Darkseid, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it'd be, you know, a strong collection, a strong introduction to anyone's collection anyway, for anyone who loves the series. So, Superman's flying towards a black hole, and he describes it as a collapsed star, so dense even light cannot escape from its gravitational pull. So it sounds like Star Labs has discovered this black hole, and Superman's decided that with his ship, they've got the opportunity now to study it up close and personal. And in this case, almost a little bit too close. So as Superman tries to observe the black hole from a distance, as he says in the episode, a ship comes out of nowhere, just happens to be entering towards the black hole. Did you like the way that Superman tries to stop the ship? Have you come across that scene yet in the episode?
Oh, I have, yeah. And my favorite aspect of Superman, the animated series, is the fact that they, in some cases, they almost depowered Superman a little bit, in the sense that he wasn't this, like, you know, he has like these godlike abilities, but he's not completely godlike, where he comes across more as like a power lifter, where, you know, he's very strong, but he struggles. And I think one of the things that I always like about powerlifting is, like, there's always that, like, you know, that struggle where you have to, like, brace yourself and then you have to lift it up. And it's like, you know, there are these people that, like, they can lift much more than you and I can ever dream of. And, you know, their strength compared to us is insane, but there's still, like, you know, work that they have to put in. And what I like about when Superman tries to rescue the ship, it's that he struggles a bit, you know, he's like holding on to it and it breaks a little. And it shows that, like, wow, like, you know, like, this is even tough for him, for the Man of Steel. And they do this in almost every episode, if not every episode, where they depict Superman, where he does struggle. And he definitely comes across a little bit more human and relatable that way. And it's an aspect that time and time again, no matter what episode, no matter who I'm talking to, I will always say that I enjoy seeing Superman more as a power lifter than as this, like, Olympian god that just can't even be touched. I like seeing him struggle a bit.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I understand the reasons why they did it for this series, because you can't just have a series where he's all powerful, because the episode will be over in 5 minutes. But I love the fact, but also I feel in these episodes he has different gears as well. So he'll try first and realize, I know I need to be stronger. So he'll actually, like, up his ante a little bit. But one thing I loved about this scene was every time Superman tries to save a plane or a ship, the wing comes off first or the tail comes off. So this immediately brought me back to The Last Slums of Krypton Part 2, when he tried to rescue the plane, the tail come off. You hear back to Superman Returns, the wing come off. And I just thought, it's a true representation of this character.
You even get it in Supergirl season one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, episode
yeah.
one, she's doing the plane, the wing, you know, bends and everything. It's what we've come to love about Superman. If you or I ever had the opportunity to direct or envision Superman in any kind of medium, I know there would be a plane sequence, and yeah. I know it would exist. I know we would do that. I think that goes back to, like, John Byrne's Man of Steel run. I think that that's one of the first things that he does in, like, issue one. And it's a part of Superman that we love him, you know, rescuing a plane and the plane wing, you know, just like it's Superman. It's cool.
It almost, even though it's completely different of how he rescues it, but brings it back to Superman the movie, when, you know, Air Force One's going down and one of the engines gets blown off, and then all we see is Christopher Reeve on the wing, and he salutes the pot, you know, don't look, just fly. I ain't saying what it is, just trust me. Obviously a different version, but I love how that was introduced in that movie and continued on that pattern for ever since.
Oh, completely. And, you know, and it's also interesting because, you know, there's that charm that comes with Christopher Reeve, where it's just like, you know, he's got it. You know, you don't have to worry. And I feel that even within Superman, the animated series, like you said, you do see where Superman kind of, like, reserves his full power, you know, even when he's fighting different people. I know that was an aspect that we spoke about when he fought Kalibak in Father's Day, where, you know, he doesn't really, like, let loose, you know, until the end. And I think that's interesting because there is that charm that also comes with Tim Daly's Superman, much like Christopher Reeve, where, yeah, he can kind of get tossed around a bit, but you always know he's got it.
Yeah.
And there's that calm and that peacefulness, and there's just a positivity that comes with the character that I feel that in every incarnation of Superman, it probably excels the best within Superman the movie and in Superman the animated series.
No, exactly. And I love that representation of the character, the fact that, you know, he's going to keep going. Doesn't matter. He's not going to be put down. He'll just keep going back at it, and nothing's going to stop him until he gets the job done, so to speak. So Superman, luckily enough, rescues the ship, and he uses his X-ray vision or his vision to see where the vapor trail of where the ship originated from. And Superman takes the ship back to the planet thinking this is the right thing to do. But we find out later on, this isn't the case, is it, Steve?
We do. And what's interesting is that, you know, they land before they even land on the planet, where Superman's like, you know, struggling. And he's like, I don't understand. I just saved you. And yeah. And you know, they're all like, he's one of them, and they're so afraid of him. And this is an interesting thing, because I feel like as Superman the animated series went on, they definitely leaned into a more darker tone for the series that was very different than season one and even the earlier parts of season two, where they started to lead into more of like a distrust of Superman. They started to explore that. I feel like if the show had another season, we probably would have gotten even more of that, especially with how, you know, it ends with, yeah. with you know, of course, Darkseid. But that's also a quality and tone that I feel is explored in Batman versus Superman, which I enjoy, because I feel like there are a lot of different ways that Superman the animated series was represented within those movies. And the distrust of Superman, I feel, is important to showcase, because if Superman existed in our world, you know, let alone saved an alien species that maybe was dealing with other characters like that in a negative way, not everybody would be cheering for him. And to know that there are people out there that don't really like him as much as people like you and I. You and I are like the Bibbos. We're like the Bibbo Bibowskis, where we love everything that he does. But there are other people where it's just like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I was in a bus and he like threw a guy through the bus and the bus, you know, went over, you know, like there's stuff like that where you definitely not really be such a fan of them.
No, and great for you to bring up Batman versus Superman. And they definitely showcased that in that movie with regards to the hatred towards the Man of Steel for things that have happened that even though he was involved on, but wasn't directly him himself. Like you said, like a building fell on top of someone or, you know, someone's died from the result of basically something like that. And that is how true, you know, we would represent those characters in real life. So that's why, you know, and we can go on forever talking about Zack Snyder's movies and how it represents today's world and how people don't like it because it's not the true representation of the character. But yeah, that's another thing.
That's a whole podcast. That's a whole season. Yeah.
So as we found out, as you said, they keep referring to Superman as one of them. So Superman takes down two of the, I'll call them stormtroopers in this case. I think they're even called that in the IMDb when you actually see who they're actually voicing as stormtroopers. So he's still trying to get answers of what's going on. He doesn't understand what's going on. And now we're introduced to Marla. And apparently we are on new Krypton, which I found interesting. The last time, and as we said already earlier, the last time we saw Marla was at the end of was in the episodes Blast from the Past Part 1 and 2, which was the start of Season 2. Can you remember those episodes fairly well, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. They're two, Blast from the Past Part 1 and Part 2 are maybe two episodes that I've seen the most out of any episode of Superman the Animated Series. I love Marla a lot. I really, really love Marla, and I like Jack Sir a lot too. Where do we begin with that? I mean, they're released from the Phantom Zone, and for a short period of time, she serves as Superman's partner, you know, and they're taking on bad guys.
Yeah.
But of course, she wants to subjugate humanity in a way that Superman doesn't. And then they let out Jack Sir, and they turn against Superman, and he then has this big fight that's, of course, reminiscent of the Zod fight from Man of Steel. And they send it, or so he thinks, they're sent back to the Phantom Zone.
And that's just the thing I loved about those two episodes is when, you know, Marla gets released from the Phantom Zone in the training. I just love, like, you just see the innocence in her face when she's making mistakes and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, you know, this is a good introduction to the character. Obviously, we know where she ends up and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And it's funny, actually, because I actually thought those two were lovers in that episode as well, which we find out it's not really the case in this episode.
Oh, completely. It was interesting because, you know, you get the backstory of how Jack Sir and Marla, of who they were on Krypton, you know, at the time of, you know, Jor-El, and especially around the time of Krypton's collapse. And it's very reminiscent of you know, Ursa, General Zod, in many ways, you know, that's this animated series version of Zod and Ursa. It's basically that same story. But it is interesting that as we get later, you know, as we move through Absolute Power, as we see what their relationship very much is like within this, and how it's also changed from the last time that we met them, as they've had this time to you know, basically create new Krypton where they've taken over this planet. But they're wonderful characters. I love, again, you mentioned Mala's training sequence in Blessed from the Past Part 1. And yeah, where she's just discovering her super strength and she's holding the guy like by a by like the legs. And it's just, it's really just, it's so well done. And so much of it is because the animation just is so spot on. You know, they're very, you know, they're not that detailed like we saw in Batman animated series, but they're very, you know, simplified but very cartoony, very, you know, very strong jawed and broad shouldered, and they look like, you know, how you'd imagine that they look. Let me just quickly ask you this. Do you have a preference in regards to who voiced Mala? You know, Easterbrook or Douglas?
I was about to ask you the same question. It's funny that I think it's because you would think that Mala was obviously a true representation of Ursa herself. And I love the fact that they've brought Sarah Douglas in to voice her for this episode. You can definitely tell the differences how Leslie voiced her from Blast in the Past compared to this episode. But I just think, when it brings me to listening to the episode, I actually, in some instances, I prefer Leslie just because that's the way she was introduced. And I love continuity in any series, that being by the characters, but also the voice acting. But I like the fact they had the opportunity to bring Sarah Douglas into the series and to voice a character pretty much very representative of herself and Superman the movie and Superman 2. So I wouldn't have to say I've got a favorite, but if anyone's leading the way, probably Leslie's just a little bit, just because she was the first one to voice her.
I completely agree for every reason that you've just stated.
Yeah, and it's hard too, because I would have loved to have seen Ursa voice her from the get-go. And it would have also been awesome to see Terrence Stamp voice Jack Sir, but I think Ron Perlman does a great job.
Oh, Ron Perlman really does. And it's incredible to think that Ron Perlman, he voiced, what was it, Clayface?
Yeah, in the animated series, yep.
He was the voice of Clayface in Batman, the animated series. And then he was the voice of Jack Sir on Superman, the animated series. I do like that there's the continuity and that you do have Ron Perlman return for this episode. As opposed to the change in the voice actress behind Mala. But yeah, I do like Leslie a bit more. I think there's a little bit more of like of a playfulness to her approach to the character. And I think a little bit, they're both very confident characters, but I think that she definitely brought something that's a little bit more interesting in the way that they've defined the character from that first from those first two episodes. But Sarah Douglas, you know, she's an icon within the Superman, you know, theatrical films and just in the Superman mythology in of itself. And so to have Sarah Douglas take on the role of Mala, it's very cool.
No, it definitely is. Before we go into the next part, what did you think of the designs of the Stormtroopers outfits here? Did you like them? Did you not just look at them and think?
I do. I like them a lot because they were also, you know, this was in 97, I believe, when this episode aired. Was it 97?
99.
Okay. So so this was still a little bit before the Zeta Project, because I think the Zeta Project came in the early 2000s. And that was, of course, a spinoff from Batman Beyond. I like how you can see their character designs and elements within Superman the Animated Series visually that you can see made its way into Batman Beyond, because the world of Superman is very futuristic, very science fiction-y. It very much leans into the ocean liner deco as opposed to the dark deco that that Batman employed. And I am so mindful of, you know, the animators and how they approached settings and character designs, and then knowing what came next, knowing that, okay, you got Justice League and Unlimited and Batman Beyond and Static Shock and the Zeta Project, and you got all these different programs. And I like that the characters, you know, we talk about continuity, and mind you never see these characters again, but visually they feel like what we've seen later on. And it just kind of, you know, of course, you know, these are aliens, and you know what we see in Zeta Project or Batman Beyond aren't, but at least it feels like there's a cohesiveness where within this world and universe there's things that are a little consistent, you know, especially design wise and it just feels like it makes sense. I like them a lot. I like the little, those like circular features on the helmets. They're different than what we saw on Krypton. Krypton had a very different look to the, to those guards that were there. And while there's similarities, like especially I'd say to Brainiac with like certain like geometric designs, it's different. And I like the way that it stands apart.
And talking about moving forward with different animation styles and the fact that they're using different visuals moving forward, there was an episode, the first episode of season three, there was a character at the start of the episode, which to me looked like John Stewart. They've just used that as a baseline and they've gone, okay, this is a character that we could use again, but we'll just upgrade him. And I think that that's what they've done. And I think what you just talked about then, they've just used the design thinking, well, there's the baseline. I'll just update that for my, for a later episode. So I think that's actually, you know, and we do that in today's society with work. We find paperwork and we go, I need to use it, you know, that template, but I'll just change the words on it. So I like the fact that they did that back then.
Oh, completely. You know, it's funny that you make mention that because, you know, I just want to quickly make mention, like, so I was doing paperwork today and I had to use a template for something that I had to mail out. And it's just that, you know, you look at different things and it's like, okay, like, how can I reconstruct this or how can I use this to make this work for the next thing? And, you know, when you think of Superman animated series and the time constraints that they had on so much of it, you know, especially from the fact that they were going to do the planned opening sequence, which was eventually cut out. You know, there are different designs that you see reconstituted in ways that that are interesting, but it never feels like, oh, like, well, we already saw this. It always still feels different and unique. Yeah. And even right down to this alien world, there are elements that are similar to Krypton, of course, because it's new Krypton.
Yeah.
There's also some designs that seem a little bit like what we saw in Metropolis, but yet it's still very different.
No, exactly. And that's what you want as well. Mm-hmm. Did you like the explanation that Marla gave Superman here of how they escape the Phantom Zone?
I do. And I just really like Marla and Jack Sir very much. I think a lot of that is because of my enjoyment of Zod and Feyora from Man of Steel.
I
saw these episodes before Man of Steel, but then I saw Man of Steel and went back and saw these episodes. And so of course, right down to the way that they both look and how they're similar to those characters, I do very much like the presentation of Jack Sir and Mala. I do like how they escape from the Phantom Zone. It's something that I know definitely, it kind of leads into something a little bit later on that I don't want to speak to you just yet. But I like their almost their second origin story, if you will.
Yeah. I'd still like, you know, we mentioned about, Superman's suit, the fact that, and just goes to show that just because they're all powerful, they still can't breathe in out of space. I just love the fact that they just went, okay, we need to make sure that everyone can see that they still can't breathe in out of space. I like how they brought it in. But for gratitude for Jack Sir and Marla being saved, they've pretty much taken over this planet, haven't they? And, you know, so one of the stormtroopers, as we mentioned before, is voiced by Carl Lumbly.
Oh, completely,
And, you know, and listening to Carl Lumbly voice a different character, all I can think of is Martian Manhunter. And, you know, it's very hard to listen, but, you know, you just move on anyway. But we learned that the rescuees that Superman brought back, so four of them are in custody and two of them escaped. And Jack Sir refers to them as criminals, which I thought was pretty interesting, knowing who Jack Sir and Marla are. But then Jack Sir goes on to explain, you know, what they've done since their arrival, the fact they're bringing order to what was, you know, what they believe was an unorganized planet. So what were your thoughts on how the way they've come to the planet and the way that you spoke about the structures and all that, but what they've done to destroy, to create, so to speak.
Oh, easily. And the dilemma that's presented ultimately here at, like, I'd say the heart of this episode, Absolute Power, is very interesting because you have Superman learning, you know, what this world's like before Jack Sir and Marla, and learning, you know, what Jack Sir and Marla have done. And, you know, as he's talking to the alien, she tells him, like, you know, like something along the lines of like, oh, like, we don't want you here. You have like no jurisdiction here. Something along the lines of that, like, you know, this isn't your fight. Like, you know, and you have Superman where he's unwilling to really listen to her or help her. But also you're learning that, okay, Superman's operating on another world. And, you know, it's again, I hate bringing Batman versus Superman back into the mix, but it's the questions that are posed in that movie that we're seeing at play here. And it's interesting because like this happened in 1999, you know, Batman versus Superman's not until 2016, but there's still very much themes that are being explored that are very interesting that, okay, Superman's on a completely different world. And in him stepping in whatever way he chooses, you know, does he have the right to do that? You know, should he be doing that? You know, and there's all these really interesting, you know, arguments to be had with the character. And I feel like for anybody that feel that just dismisses Superman animated series or the character, they're missing just how nuanced the presentation is of the character alone from the fact that, I mean, you're getting a wonderful fight scene and just really wonderfully done animation, but there are a lot of really interesting presentations that are here to really think about and talk about.
And that's just it. And I think we're both on the same line of thought. And I think we'll bring it up at the end of the episode with regards to knowing when to intervene and when to not. And I like the fact that Superman's thought about that initially, and obviously he'll change his mind very shortly, but he has reasons as to why he can't step, he believes that he can't step in, and knowing that if he does, what might happen from the cause of that. But yeah, I think we'll come at the conclusion of the episode, I think we'll obviously discuss that as well in detail. But we also learn that Jaxxer and Marla aren't all, you know, to be had in this world. We know that people still obviously don't like them. As a rocket starts getting hurtled straight towards them, you know, Marla uses her heat vision to destroy it, and then she goes off to investigate. So we learned that even though we know that the six crew obviously fled the planet to get to escape, we all know that they're not loved by all on the planet, are they?
No, not at all.
So the next scene, we learn that Jaxxer's had some of his troopers, you know, bring Superman's ship to his planet. I like how he says that you'll find it undamaged, but I'm sure you'll want to x-ray it yourself. I know I would. So Jaxxer's on the belief here that Superman is basically no longer a threat and just lets him go. The next part we see is Superman starts to head off. He finds one of the so-called criminals, who we learn her name is Satea. So he finds her, but then he learns a bit more about the story about how actually Jaxxer and Marla came about and what actually is the underlying story going on here, isn't it, Steve?
Oh, completely. And it's just really kind of like what we were just talking about where, you know, you find out, you know, what the planet was like, that the society is a lot different than how Jaxxer and Marla have presented it. And in a lot of ways, they're not, you know, really unlike, you know, us on Earth. You know, there are people that are good and people that really aren't. But as she says, like, you know, we're not all barbarians. You know, they were not all barbarians, you know, especially with the people that were on the ship.
No, exactly. And so as they go underground to find out what's actually going on this planet, we find out there's some interstellar ships are being created, which are piloted by robots. And I love Superman when he goes into detective mode. I like when he starts to think about, okay, where are these ships heading? I love the fact that he jumps on the computer. And what does he find, Steve?
Oh, when he, well, if I could just make mention of one thing, I like that you make mention that he's in detective mode. Because it's interesting to see Superman in that presentation because it's something that we commonly associate with Batman, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you see him exploring this hangar area where, you know, he's looking at the different ships and everything. And, you know, of course, you know, we know he's going to get caught and we know there's going to be a battle. But it's interesting to see that where, you know, you see him learning and you see him taking the time to take in this new environment. A lot of times Superman, you know, he'll run into action where it's like he'll burst in through a wall and start taking apart everything, whereas Batman, you know, is more known to, like, you know, investigate, take in the environment and stuff like that. But there are quieter moments that happen within Superman animated series like this, like what I love that you pointed out, where he's in detective mode. Something that we don't see too often, but you do see it happen within the sequence where he's looking around, and then of course he discovers that, well, where is everything headed but Earth?
Yeah. and as you pointed out just a second ago, as soon as he does that, what happens? They're found out.
Of course. And I love because Superman, he, like, you know, he's looking at it and it's like, of course, he finds out that all these, like, this whole armada, where is it? It's, you know, aimed completely at Earth. And then he says something long. He says, and I quote, "Why am I not surprised? Because of course it's Small and Jack, sir. They're going to take over Earth. Of course they're going to do it."
One thing I was thinking about when I was watching the episode is that, yeah, we all know that Superman and, you know, other people who were not supposed to be the last sons of Krypton, because there's always someone from Krypton. They all get their power from the, you know, from the sun. But yeah, they've all got their powers on this planet. I've always never understood why and how they still got their powers on this planet. But that, you know, we could go off on a tangent on that. But did that ever come to your mind when you're watching this episode?
Not until actually you mention it. But now that you mention it, it's like, okay, well, Yeah, I mean, would he have his powers on this planet?
Yeah.
Right? He probably shouldn't, right?
He shouldn't. Like, they've obviously got a son of some description. We just haven't seen it. But right. It's just like anything. Nowadays, the minutes, because you watch these episodes and you watch them with so much detail, and your brain starts thinking about stuff that you probably shouldn't be. You just be watching and enjoying it for what it is. But I think now you're a bit older, you probably find things, you go, that's something I shouldn't really worry about, but that doesn't make sense. But obviously there's an underlining fact that we're obviously not seeing, but yeah, anyway.
Well, I like how, of course, like, you know, for like two fans such as ourselves, like, we're now thinking of like more of like the science behind the episode, where yeah. It's just like, okay, well, you know, Superman, if he's on this planet, how is he deriving his powers? And it's like, aside from the fact that it's just a really fun episode, I like how you and I are immediately thinking of the dynamics of this world and where Superman is pulling his strength from. I like that we're the ones thinking about this. I would love to pose a question to everybody listening that, like, you know, when you were watching this episode, was this something that you were thinking of, or is this something that you're now going to think of whenever you watch Superman because of what you, Nathan, just said?
Yeah, but I love this. Like you said, what you thought about while you're watching it, or whether you just thought about it now as we've just discussed it. But I love the fact in this episode, Marla, she just loves going into attack mode, like straight away, no questions barred. And her and Superman just get into a tussle straight away. And Superman's actually on top initially. Jack Sarah and Marla have obviously had a bit of time to create a certain weapon that can encapture Superman. I thought that was pretty well developed, actually.
Yeah, I like it too. I like that one of the things that feels consistent with when we first met these characters was that Mala in some ways is a little bit more of the aggressive fighter, whereas Jack Sir is definitely a little bit more reserved. And it also kind of reminds me a little bit of like the Zod Feyora dynamic too, where Zod and Superman of course have these big fights, but Feyora, you know, there's a little bit more of like, wow, she's gonna really throw Superman around. And of course you get that really cool scene in Man of Steel. But like how you have them fight in the previous episode from Blast from the Past. In this, I like how you have Mala where she's tossing Superman around in the hangar. And then, of course, you know, she, like after Superman gets captured with the weapon that they devised, like she just like kicks him right in the face and knocks him right out. And there's like this aggression that, you know, you don't get that with Volcana. You don't really get that really with any like Brainiac or you know, Bizarro, at least maybe Darkseid for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely an aggression that you get with Mala that you really don't see with anybody else. And I think that's pretty cool.
But alluding to that as well, look, it just hit me again. We didn't actually see Jack Sir use any of his powers in this episode, if I remember correctly. Like
no.
Yeah. So I don't know what, obviously he can fly in this episode. That's pretty much about it, but it's all Marla when it comes to the power side of things.
Yeah.
All right. So the next scene we see, I can only allude to as a command ship. I was just thinking of Star Wars straight away when I saw this command ship heading towards the black hole. Did you like the animation of the black hole?
I do. Yeah. I do like it. I like that within Superman, the animated series. Now, this is a little bit more broad in what I'd like to say about the whole overall series, but it's also something that, you know, it's definitely very much, it does relate to what we're watching in Absolute Power. But there was a lot of space, you know, and of Superman traveling the galaxy from like the main man to a little piece of home. I think that was the first. No, a little piece of home was a Kryptonite episode, but the first episode with Brainiac, I'm trying to remember that. Stolen Memories.
Yeah, Stolen Memories. Yep, that's the one.
Stolen Memories.
Yeah.
Right. There's so many different aspects where it's very much a science fiction show where you see galaxies and stars and planets and black hole, of course. And it feels like such a really good science fiction show. I like that there's almost like this swirling quality to it. That as Mala and Jack Sir are watching, and before Superman, you know, has this fight with them, you see almost like things getting pulled into it. It's like what we saw in the beginning when the ship gets pulled into it, and it has a unique look. In my research into this episode, I found out that I think the black hole animation was an aspect of the episode that was done by a different animation studio, as opposed to the animation studio that did the renderings for everything else. So it looks a bit different than what we've previously seen within this episode and within the series, but it's still very cool nonetheless.
No, exactly. I love the fact that they keep doing things. Like, you go back to the start of this episode with Superman's ship. Like, I love the fact that in one of the latest episodes of season two, when he finds Supergirl for the first time, you can see all the instructions, on his ship itself, you know, just changing. And it wasn't just a plain picture of something that when you buy like a space toy or something like that, which has got like a piece of, you know, a color or something like that. The constant changes of, like, in this instance, it actually showed the black hole moving. And so I just love the fact that they just threw those little nitbits of animation, which they didn't need to, but we're lucky enough to see. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, so we learned that Superman and Satya have been strapped to a rocket. And I don't know why I just thought about Toy Story. Yeah, we're strapped to a rocket. Rockets explode, but anyway.
Well, since you mentioned Toy Story, I want to make mention that the scene when you see Superman in the hangar looking at basically the whole armada that Jaxter and Mala have created, it kind of reminds me of the scene in the Lightyear trailer that was just released.
Where
you see Buzz Lightyear exploring the hangar and you see all those, like, where I think in a acceptor are going to be like Zerg bots.
Yeah.
We never see Zerg in this new trailer, but you know he's going to be in it.
Yeah.
And they're like the Z's on like these like little like, like drone robot things that we see around. And there's elements of not only the background renderings, but of what Superman's doing as he's exploring the planet that kind of reminds me a lot of Buzz Lightyear in the Lightyear trailer that I think we just got this month.
And yeah, I can't wait to see that movie. I know a lot of people, I know we're going on a tangent, but that's fine. I know there's a lot of anger towards the fact that, Chris, you know, that Captain America was voicing, you know, Buzz Lightyear and it wasn't Tim Allen. And I thought, do you not understand that this is, like, you know, hypothetically speaking, this is the real Buzz Lightyear, even though it's animation, but yeah, I just don't understand why there's so much hatred towards it. You know, yeah, but I'm so much looking forward to this. So this is going to be like,
it
looks awesome.
I got to say, this is the first time that I'm ever saying this like on a podcast or anything. But yeah, aside from like Top Gun Maverick and like Mission Impossible 7, the movie that I'm most anticipating of 2022 is easily Lightyear. I haven't marked on my calendar. It's June something, like June 17th or June something 2022. And I cannot wait for Lightyear. I think it's going to be great. I love that we're seeing the man who the figure is based on. Yeah. I think that's cool. And the new animation, you know, Pixar does, as they've gotten, you know, just like from Toy Story 1 to now Lightyear, it's just incredible at just how detailed everything is. And I like how Lightyear still looks like Buzz Lightyear, the figure.
Yep.
You know, but there's Chris Evans, like, eyes and hair, and there's a little bit of Chris Evans in there, and it looks cool. And yeah, the property of Stark Command, the shirt, the dog tail, I'll buy all the toys and all the shirts and gladly do a podcast episode about it with you when it comes out.
Well, I was just about to say that I'm on board for a podcast episode to talk about that. And it's funny, years ago when I bought, you know, Buzz Lightyear and Woody for my daughter, I think I enjoyed the toys more than she.
I definitely would believe it. I'm an action figure fan myself, and if I were to ever have kids, I know I'd definitely be definitely enjoying replaying with everything all over again with them.
So going back to what we're talking about, so Superman and Satya are strapped onto this rocket. The ship is actually, you know, it's in a bit of trouble here. We find out that it's not actually caused by what they think it's caused. I like the way that they play this out here. Obviously, I knew it was coming because I've seen the episode before, but I like the way that how this went about, because you saw remnants of this happening throughout the series, and we'll talk about the character itself, Ultras, so Carl Lumbly's voice acting this character. But I love the fact that, you know, we saw snippets of it. There was a scene where Marla kissed him, and then after she went away, you know, he wiped it off his mouth and stuff like that. So you think, okay, maybe he doesn't really like doing what he's doing, but and that's where we found out in this scene here that obviously that this is what it was all alluding to.
I agree. There's one thing that design wise that I'd like to point out as the scene is here within the ship. Does it remind you a little bit of like Star Wars from Return of the Jedi, like the Emperor's throne room there's like a section of the ship that kind of has like that design.
It's got like the circle. I think that's what they've used to design this. Yeah, now that you say that, I can definitely see it.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to screenshot it and put it on social media when I release this episode, I think. Now
absolutely, but no, please do. I would love for you to do that. I don't remember anyone ever talking about that.
No.
And again, that's one of the things that I love so much about talking about Superman animated series, because there's so many different things that people just, you know, people have said so many different things about Batman animated series. And, you know, like if you've thought about something, somebody's already said it or posted about it. But when it comes to Superman and animation, there are things that people like haven't even thought of. And we're talking about something 25 years ago and like, we're still discovering things about it. And I think what also helps in some ways is the fact that there also hasn't been much written or said about it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that are still waiting to be discovered. And I feel like if you were to post that, people would go wild, because I'm looking at it and I'm just thinking like, oh, I got to ask this, because it really looks like that served as an inspiration.
There's been a lot of actually episodes that have been, you can tell have been inspired by Star Wars, and you know, the creators behind, you know, the animated series, you can tell they've had a love for those movies. And back then we only had the three movies. You know,
right.
and just imagine what we'd see in the new Superman, the animated series, what's coming out then. But yeah, they've obviously taken true inspiration off other, you know, as you mentioned before, this is science fiction. And in this episode, we're in space. So what better, you know, version or what, you know, other aspect of movies out there we can utilize than Star Wars itself, or Star Trek, by all means.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we found out that Alterus. He's the one who actually caused the minor flickering in the ship. And that's when Jack Sir realizes that, you know, your boyfriend is not all he's found out to be. I like the fact when he's going to shoot at Satea, we don't actually see him shoot off. Like, I don't know if I'd be firing a weapon at a rocket. I like the fact that they just skipped showing us how he did it. He's either that good of a shot, or they just decided we're not going to show this. We're just going to skip to the next part where they both fall off the rocket. Yeah. So again, this is when we find, you know, when Marla's found out, that we see that a escape pod's been jettisoned outside, which I'm going to ask you a question about in a little minute. But so that's gone off. They find out that there's two people inside. You know, going back to Star Wars, all I can think about was C-3PO and RTD2 in A New Hope and jettison. Yeah, that there's no life forms on board. And then it brings me back to the Family Guy rendition. Is that what are we saving money on? Anyway, but yeah. So Marla and Superman get into another fight. I just thought, oh, here we are it again. Just round three. It's they're just good to go. But so yeah, Jack Sir throws Marla up. I love the oxygen mask. Like, how is this thing gonna work?
There's different things that are. I'm looking at it now, and there's definitely there's. It's so wild, because the thing is, it's like, I feel like we can talk about a whole pod, like for a whole podcast, you can just deconstruct, you know, like a minute of the scene. Like, you know how they have like this, like the movie by the minute, like a Batman versus Superman by the minute podcast, where each episode, you know, it's like half hour, 40 minutes, just deconstructing a minute of the film. But there's so much that we're getting in this final battle. And there's like so many different things that just, I feel like need to be said, but like inevitably we're not going to even talk about. But yeah, there's like the oxygen masks that, you know, like that like the apparatus that he has on, like Jack Sir, you know, as the ship, you know, is, you know, as they're being torn basically out and pulled out into space. It's very interesting, because like her mouth is covered, but her eyes are exposed.
Yeah.
Superman doesn't have anything, but you think like, okay, Superman really doesn't need to have that in space, but in the mechanics of this world, he needs a spacesuit. And they're going into a black hole, and Superman's gasping.
Well, that's just it. And you know, and a lot of the fact that they, as you mentioned before, continuity, you know, Superman can't breathe, you know, and it's shown in this scene as well. We see another pod, which I'm going to ask you a question about in a second, but it seems pretty quick here when Jack Sir and Marla end up in the black hole. Like, they're both going after the pod, and then all of a sudden the next scene we just see him venturing into the black hole. I thought, this is whether they just decided we've only got a minute left to for this episode, so we need to hurry up and finish off this scene, or whether they didn't want to talk, you know, explain in any more detail. But I thought it was just done pretty quickly here. I again, maybe I'm looking too far into it again.
No, I don't think you are, because I feel like with the New Adventures of Batman, or whatever that fourth season of Batman animated series was titled, there were a lot of like similarities in that where it felt like they were wrapping up character arcs in a really quick way, where people were almost seemingly like they weren't like you weren't seeing them die, but they were essentially dying off screen in a very, very quick manner. And this episode reminds me a lot of how a lot of characters' last or final stories within Batman were handled in that fourth season, because this is the last time that we ever see Jack Sir Mala, right? For a Superman animated series. And from all we see and know, I mean, they die within this, but it just happens so quick. And then, you know, of course, it goes back to New Krypton, where Superman's back with them and he's getting ready to leave. And he's just basically saying that, like, you know, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. That's his final quote. But aside from that, the lesson that Superman definitely learned, you know, especially where there was that unwillingness to help them at first. But it wraps up very quick, but especially in the presentation of Jack Sir and Mala and how we wrap up their story, for the fact that they die and there's really nothing given to that, it reminds me of like how different characters died in Batman, the animated series, where it was just like, wow, that's it. And this is the last time that we're ever seeing them. Whereas, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a pretty major character within Superman, the animated series, where when his death scene occurs, it's something that really is felt throughout the rest of the episode. Yeah. And something that Superman contends with right up until the final moments of it.
Yeah, and you can definitely talk about it. It was Apocalypse Now with the death of Dan Turpin, I'm guessing that's what you're talking about?
Yes, yeah.
That still hits me to this day. I'll watch that episode and you see, and when he tears apart that tank at the end of that episode, it almost, just the emotion that comes across you in an animated show. And you know, and also when we talk about Legacy, the second part of Legacy, when, you know, I don't want to spoiler that, but, you know, what happens at the end with what we believe, you know, Darkseid's been taken down, and we see what happens after that. And you just go, what's going on? I don't understand. But obviously, lucky enough, we're going to have you back talking about that later on. But yeah, it's just, there's so many things going on in these stories that hit you when you're actually a little bit older, when you understand what they're trying to tell you.
It almost kind of makes you wish that, like, you had another 20 minutes of episode, because the story is just so tight and well constructed, but there's just so much that we invest as fans into these stories that we want to know more. And I know from watching Superman the animated series for the first time to each subsequent viewing, you know, so it just gets better and better every time, that this is a perfect example where there's a lot that we've invested into the characters of Jack Sir and Mala, the relationship Superman has with them, but also in our enjoyment of this alien race that's never named that Superman encounters. And we want to know more about them. We want to know more about Superman's relationship to them and what he's learning about them and what he's learning about himself. And so with the finality of the episode and how quick it is, I do kind of wish like these episodes were an hour, because I feel like there was so much more that, I really wish we saw more of that, or, oh, I really wish we learned more of how they were doing this, that you don't really get that. And mind you, time constraints and everything, you know, it's not meant for the story that they were setting out to tell, but it just kind of makes you think like, oh, that would have been cool to see that explored in even greater detail.
No, I truly agree. I know they've done that, you know, occasionally throughout this series. Like you said, Blast from the Past was two-parter. Little Lost Girl was two parts, you know, Legacy's two parts. You've got World's Finest, which is three, and then the pilot. Then you go into Justice League, you know, the first two seasons of that, and pretty much every episode's a double episode. So they've decided to do that. Whereas when they went to Justice League Unlimited, it was pretty much just what we've done here with just a 122-minute episode. But just one little quick thing I want to bring up, reference the escape pod. So Superman mentions that, you know, Jack Sir mentions there's two people in the escape pod, so that goes off. So, you know, do you know the escape pod that Superman ends up finding himself? Is that the same escape pod that the two, you know, Satya and Ultras are on? Do you reckon that's the same pod? Or reckon it's another pod that's just all of a sudden conveniently there for Superman to jump into to take off? There's another thing I was confused about.
I kind of, you know, from when I watched it, and even from when I just watched it this time, I've been under the impression that it was like Satya's pod.
Yeah.
You know, and especially just kind of like having been watching it, like it's interesting because like that's something that like also like I guess like the more you think about it, like where it's jettisoned and you see it like that, I would believe that that's hers.
Yeah.
Or that's immediately just what came to mind, that it was their pod. But that's like another thing, like with like the oxygen masks,
yeah,
or you know, the weapon that Jack Sir develops and stuff that we could be thinking about endlessly.
Exactly. So that pretty much completes the episode, Steve. Is there anything that you want to bring up that we've missed, or is there anything else you want to add?
Well, I just want to point out the fact that I think that Jack Sir and Mala are really wonderful characters, and for anybody that enjoys a lot of the villains that were presented in Superman the Animated Series, there was a short, well, I wouldn't say short running, but it was 61, I think it was 64 issues of a comic book based on Superman the Animated Series called Superman Adventures.
Mm.
It's something that I know has been reprinted in two graphic novels. So there are two volumes of Superman Adventures, which reprints all 64 issues. And Jack Sir and Mala make an appearance within the comic book.
Okay.
While it's not set post the events of Absolute Power, it's just another opportunity to spend a little time with the characters. And it's just something that I recommend that for anybody listening to the show that loves Superman the Animated Series. And if you want to check out more of Superman the Animated Series in a different different medium. Yeah, back in the 90s and early 2000s, there was a comic book series, of course, that was tied into it, like Batman Beyond. And I highly recommend checking it out. It wasn't all that long ago where the first two volumes were the only two volumes were released. So you could probably easily track that down without having to pay top dollar for it. But it's very good. Retains the same art style. Paul Dini even writes a few of the issues. Bruce Timm does the art for some of them. It's mainly like Scott McCloud, I think, that does it. And there's another name that I'm forgetting, but I definitely recommend checking that out.
And that almost brings into what they've got now, like Justice League Infinity, the fact that they've brought, you know, can extended Justice League. So I just love the fact that they've done that. Same with Batman, the Animated Series. They've done that in comics as well. And, mm-hmm. and you know, and going back to Zack Snyder's Justice League, you know, they're talking about bringing out a comic book to extend that as well. But then that fell through. But it would have been interesting to see what the art style would have been like in that comic book if they did decide to go down that stream.
Oh, it absolutely would have been. There's so many different possibilities. I think that, you know, when you have a good presentation of a character, be it on film or in animation, you know, especially if they're rooted within a comic book, there's so many possibilities of what could be done, you know, within the comic book format. Because Superman's a comic book character, and then he just has really good cartoon episodes and really good movies. And, you know, there's so many different opportunities to really have the character, you know, be it like Christopher Reeve or Michael Keaton, like resurface within the pages of a comic book where, yeah, while you're not seeing it play on live action, it's just another opportunity to spend time with a particular incarnation or incarnations of people that you really care about. And it's all under DC. It's all under Warner Brothers. So my thing to them is like, if anybody from Warner Brothers is listening, it's just like you know, it's not like a Marvel thing where, all right, you have to deal with Sony or Universal. You have it all under one roof. You know, if you're able to do it, if it makes sense, do it, especially if it has something to do with Superman.
No, 100%
more of it.
100% agree. So leading into this, as we just discussed about this episode. So firstly, did you like the episode? And would you recommend this to anyone for a first time watcher?
Okay. I love Absolute Power. Again, back when you invited me to return to the show and we were talking about the episodes, this was the one that I really wanted to do because, as I said, I really enjoy the character of Jack Sir and Mala. In regards to if I would recommend this to a first time viewer, I'd honestly say I wouldn't, only because it's that we're meeting Jack Sir and Mala again for the second time.
Mm.
And I feel that while there are numerous episodes with Metello that you can revisit, where if you didn't see the way of all flesh,
yeah,
which was his first episode, of course, mind you, John Corbin is in Last Son of Krypton, I think part two, part three,
yeah,
as just like the terrorist John Corbin before you meet him as Metello. You can drop into a Metello episode. You can drop into a Parasite episode. You can really drop into a Livewire episode where I don't really feel like you need to have seen their first debut episodes, but there's a history that comes with the Jack Sir and Mala. And this episode I feel works better on if you've seen Blast from the Past part one and part two. So I would definitely preface this with saying, like, if you haven't seen those episodes, I would recommend checking them out. They're only like a little over 20 minutes. So you're spending really like what, like 42, 44 minutes, you know, on something before you go into this episode. So, you know, it's not like saying, hey, if you want to watch this, you have to watch a 2.5 hour movie before you watch a 4 hour movie. So it's a lot more digestible and easy to fit into the schedule. But it's not to say that I'm not recommending the episode. Definitely check out the episode. It's a wonderful episode, as with most of them, except Unity. No, I'm kidding. But I definitely recommend checking out the previous episodes before this one.
No, I totally agree. I love this episode as well. I love, you know, the continuity in any series that I watch. I love the fact that they've brought returning characters back, even though, you know, as we mentioned, Mal is different by a different voice actor. And as we mentioned, it would have been interesting to see if, you know, Sarah Douglas was actually asked to voice Marla the first time around. But, yeah, you know, I love the fact they had the opportunity to do so. But I love the fact, you know, of what was, to me, what was taught to me in this episode, the fact that Superman had an opportunity to intervene. He decided, this isn't my world. I'm, as, you know, even as Marla put it, or as Jack Sir put it, you're out of your jurisdiction. And even Superman says, I don't want to start a war. But then when he had an opportunity, once he realized it was going to affect his planet, then he decided to intervene. And that last statement that you said was perfect with regards to, you know, evil triumphs when good men do nothing, I won't do it again. And I love the fact that that's what I took away from the episode, as well as obviously enjoying bringing back of those characters.
Oh, completely. And I think that it's such an important moment, because there's this learning curve that Superman has throughout this episode. And there's somewhat of a darkness that comes to the Superman animated series depiction to this character, especially in the way that they've humanized him, or they've brought him a little bit more down to a level that we can understand or relate to, that it's very similar to the Henry Cavill, Zack Snyder presentation of the character, where there are dilemmas that he faces that you didn't necessarily see within Christopher Reeve, Superman the movie. You see it a little more in Superman 2, but within Superman the movie overall, I feel like there's, you know, aside from him turning back time and stuff, there's situations that you're seeing the Man of Steel in that are just interesting. And it's interesting to see what he takes away from it, how he learns from it. And for anybody, I think, that thinks Superman's a very bland one-note character, it's an episode like Absolute Power that I feel like we can both easily recommend, because he makes mistakes. And there's that moment that ultimately, I think the ultimate takeaway at the end is that, yes, Superman didn't really want to do anything. And it's not to say that, oh man, Superman like was, you know, a bit of a douche, but like, it was just the fact that like, he didn't want to interfere here. Mm. And then of course he sees that like Earth is in peril, and it's like, okay, I have to do something. And it calls into question, okay, like, do you feel that Superman was like self-serving or self-centered or selfish because of that? Not really, because yeah, I mean, it wasn't really for him to, you know, take part in, but yeah, Earth was in peril, and he had to do something. And there's those interesting dynamics that come into play. As soon as he lands on the planet, they didn't really want him to do anything. And so if anything, Superman was kind of really going along with what the aliens wanted.
Yeah.
So it's also that calls into question, well, like, they didn't really want him to be there. You know, they didn't want Jack Sir and Mala to be there, and they didn't really trust Superman at first. And
yeah,
of course it ends differently, but you know, he learned a lesson, and it's something that we take away from. There's stuff that we learn every day. That's something hopefully new that we take in, something, you know, positive that we learn from, hopefully more positive than negative situations. And it's just, it's relatable.
Yeah. And I love everything you spoke about with regards to that. And, you know, in this episode, the one thing he did bring up when they were talking to him, when Zatea was talking to him about, you need to stop this, is basically you're saying, oh, I can't do it because it's not going to hurt them. It's going to hurt, you know, the people. So he was thinking about it. He did, in the back of his mind, he did want to help, but he was more worried about destroying the planet, you know, in regards to, but the fact that we know how it all ended up eventually, right. But yeah. So what we're going to do now is go into a little bit of trivia. And this is all thanks to the DC Animated Universe Wiki. And I have a feeling you've had a look at this yourself prior to this episode. So as we mentioned, this is the last appearance of Jack, Sarah, and Marla. And they are presumed dead in the black hole, as you mentioned. So, but as we know with the Toy Man in this series, they always come back. So you never know. But as we know, but for this series, he's unfortunately, unless they did a season 4, they're gone for this series. One thing, and when after reading this prior to watching the episode, I actually, yeah, didn't really understand. So the names of the planet itself and the alien race were never revealed. So it would have been interesting to find out if, you know, they've obviously just designed a random planet in the middle of nowhere for this episode, but it would have been interesting to know if they could have used something from the comic books, or they could have come up with their, you know, they invented characters for the series. For, you know, they invented Livewire. They invented Volcano. You know, they invented people for this series. I don't understand why they couldn't invent a planet.
They did. You know, within like the Edgar Rice Burroughs, John Carter series from the books, the comics, and even the movie that came out, the on Mars, there were like the two different alien races. There were like the white apes. There were the Tarks, which are the green kind of Martians. And then there were like the Barsoomians, where they all had red skin. And I thought so much of John Carter within watching this episode, because the aliens that we all meet, they all kind of have this reddish skin. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of like the Barsoomians from the John Carter series, which is another wonderful sci-fi, which, you know, inspired like the likes of Star Wars and Dune and all these wonderful things that you know, we enjoy now. And so I kind of like that they're unnamed, because they're just, I think it adds to the vastness of the universe and the galaxy, that there are just so many different alien races out there that just, you know, we don't know who they are, but they're out there somewhere. And they were touched by Superman in some kind of way, which it's kind of like this unifying force.
Yeah, I like the way you presented that. And not only do we know the symbol around Earth, we now know the symbol on other planets. So, So this is the second and last episode to be told in a flashback. Superman's quote about the good people doing nothing is usually attributed to Edmund Burke. We've already spoken about this previously, but Sarah Douglas replaces Leslie Easterbrook as the voice of Marla. And as we know, you know, Sarah was Ursa in Superman the movie and Superman 2. And Marla is closely modeled on Ursa, so there you go. So since time, too, is affected by a black hole's gravity, slowing down as the gravitational pull gets stronger, it would theoretically take countless ages for Marla and Jack Sir and the ship's debris to be sucked in, as opposed to the seconds it took in the show. It kind of reminded me of, not that I think it was a black hole. Did you watch the new Star Trek movie that was in 2009? The new...
The first one with Chris Pine. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And it kind of reminded me of that. You know, when the Romulans come through, that wasn't a black hole though, was it? It was caused...
Because they used like the red matter.
Yeah.
To go into it, where they kind of jump through time, where, cause like the Narada goes through and then gets, you know, goes back in time, and then Spock goes through, but you know, he only gets there, you know, at a different time, as opposed to where, like, you know, Nero and all of them were there for a little bit. It was a black hole that they end up going through.
So that's when it hits me. And as we spoke about how we think that Jack, Sarah, Marla might have died in the black hole, I still think they're alive in a different time zone.
That's an intriguing thought, because, you know, for like, you know, the ending of Star Trek 2009, you know, you have Nero, IL, the whole Narada ship going through the black hole. Mm. And the Enterprise fires on it, right? But you don't really see the Narada completely blow up. And in the IDW comic book series, which continued the Star Trek Kelvin timeline universe stories, Nero does return.
Okay.
Because it's just like what you said, like he just went to a different time, and then he eventually meets up with like Captain Kirk and the crew of the Enterprise again. So he didn't die, you know, he doesn't really die on screen or off screen, you know, he's still very much alive and within the canon of the comic books, which is continued off of the movie story. So I think it's very possible that, Jack, Sir, and Mala could very much be alive. It almost is kind of like the argument or like the dilemma that we have with Man of Steel, where, you know, when the plane goes into the Phantom Zone, does Feyora die? Right? Like, we don't know, like, is she still alive? Is she in the Phantom Zone somewhere?
Well, hopefully we'll find out in Man of Steel 2 if we ever get to see it.
or The Flash, right?
No, but you've heard it here first, folks. We both, Steve and I, are on the same agreement. Jack, Sir, and Marla are not dead.
Yep.
And last but not least, I think you spoke about this as we were discussing. So although Dongyang Animation Limited and Coco Enterprise Limited were the animators for this episode, so Tokyo Movie, apologize about the pronunciation, so Shinsha Limited did the black hole effects, which were animated digitally. So there you go. So that's why there's a little bit of differences there throughout the animation, but yeah, as you discussed throughout the episode. So Steve, I think we discussed a little bit at the start of the before we started talking about the episode. So what's next for Superman the Animated Show.
Oh, for Superman the Animated future.
Sorry, Saturday morning Superman show. I don't know why. I was having both going on at the same time.
Because I was going to think like, oh, like, are we going to talk about my adventures in Superman again? Which I definitely would. Well, for a Saturday morning Superman show, I'm very excited to announce that season 3 has been recorded. Listeners can expect to listen to it sometime in early 2022. As of right now, we have a tentative release date of January. So hopefully sometime within the next like 2-3 months, we'll be launching season 3. And what's very exciting about season 3 of the Saturday Morning Superman show is we did Superman Animated Series season 1 for season 1. And then we did all 13 theatrical shorts for the Fleischer Superman animated shorts for season 2. Now for season 3, I thought it would be special to go back and cover the third Superman animated series in the history of Superman for the third season of our show. And that's the 80s Ruby Spears Superman cartoon that a lot of people have forgotten about. A lot of people don't really tend to know all that much about. There really aren't too many people that have even spoken about it. There's really only one person who did one episode. It's on the podcast series Digging for Kryptonite. Can also be found on YouTube. And Anthony Desiato. He did an episode on the Ruby Spears Superman show, and he covered the whole thing, you know, all basically the whole series at once. So what Justin and I have done, in keeping in tradition of the first two seasons, we've done, you know, all 13 episodes. So each episode is our commentary on that series, and I'm very excited about it because I really love the Ruby Spears animated series. It's very much leans into the 80s depiction of Superman, which at that time was based on the John Byrne run. At the end of every episode, there's a short story called Superman's Family Album, and it tells a different story from Clark Kent's past, through him being a baby, through adolescence, through different like youthful stories of Clark Kent. And it's something that we never really saw in animation before. So there's a lot of different moments that we're getting of that character that we never saw in animation prior, and we actually haven't seen since. And I really like the depiction of Superman within that show. I like the depiction of Lex Luthor. I just think it's a wonderful series that for any Superman fan, it's a must watch. So hopefully early 2022, hopefully fingers crossed, we'll be able to launch season 3 in January. And then fans and listeners can expect 13 episodes of season 3, in which we'll just be talking about the 80s Ruby Spears animated series.
Yeah, and I can't wait. I listened to Anthony's episode on the Ruby Spears one as well. And I was lucky enough to have Anthony on the podcast where we spoke about New Kids in Town, which was just released as a time of this recording yesterday. I love the fact that, and I can't wait to listen to you talk about it, because I want to find that, like, I remember years ago, I could find that DVD anywhere. Now in Australia, it's very hard to find. So that's going to be my to-do list to buy that. Then I can listen along to your podcast next year. And I love the fact that, you know, even though we love the, you know, the theme song for Superman the Animated Series, but I love the fact that they brought the John Williams theme song into the Ruby Spears episodes. And I can't wait to hear you discuss that in your episodes, which I'm pretty confident you will be. And, and you know, but back then that was the theme. Anytime you heard Superman, it was the John Williams theme song. But, and prior to going on to Superman the Animated Series, they tried to do something different, which I absolutely love, which is my ringtone for my phone. So, but yeah, I can't wait to listen to what you and Justin have to say about this series. And I can't wait to watch it for the first time. I'm you know, so excited to watch something different that I haven't seen before. And I can't wait to you guys to talk about it.
Oh, well I'm really super happy to hear that. I'm really looking forward to you listening to that particular season. I definitely know what you mean, that the DVD is very hard to find. It was only released that one time. I remember back around the time of Post, it was probably... I speak about it in the podcast, because the thing is, prior to this year, I had never seen the show before, but I was familiar with it. And I believe it released on DVD for the first time in 2009. And I remember, like, almost on a weekly basis, or, you know, whenever my parents and I, we would go to Best Buy, you know, in the animation aisle, I would always see it. And I remember always picking it up and thinking, oh, wow, is this an animated series for this Christopher Reeve movies? And that's where I thought it was, because I knew that the John Williams theme played into it. And I know that, you know, there were character designs that were a little bit like Reeve and Margot Kidder. But aside from that, and then also Gene Hackman, you know, and Miss Tessmacher, there's a lot of different elements from those movies that make it into the show. But I never watched it. And then it's been out of print for a long time. You can tend to find it at a reasonable enough price, but I do know like it's quite rare and hard to find, especially on DVD. But I do want to point out that in every episode, we do make mention that Superman, the Ruby Spears animated show, is available on Tubi TV. Tubi TV is free here in the United States. I'm not sure how it is in Australia, but if you have Tubi TV and it's free, they should have the Ruby Spears episodes on there. They're missing a few episodes, but they do have it here. And so if you want to start watching it and even talking about it on your own, I highly recommend checking out Tubi TV if you're able to get it and watch those episodes because they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, actually, when I heard Anthony's podcast episode, he mentioned Tubi as well. It's the first thing I did. Mm-hmm. And they've got the Fleischer Superman on there, but unfortunately no Ruby Spears. So I don't know why, you know, I'm almost tempted to write him a letter.
I got to redo those episodes, or I have to add into those episodes where like, all right, for our friends, you know, in Australia, for our friends down under, like, come on, like, they're like, why isn't this available for them?
But it's the same as Superman, the animated series. So we've got different streaming services over here. So we've got Binge, which is basically like a adaptation of HBO Max. So that's where we got Superman and Lois. That's where we got the Zack Snyder Justice League as well. So I can get season 3 of Superman the animated series on Binge, but I can only get the first 10 episodes of season 3, and the last 3 episodes not there, because in certain incarnations the last 3 episodes are apparently season 4, which there is no season 4, but if you go on Wikipedia apparently they've classified the last 3 episodes of season 4. But then there's another streaming service called Stan where you can watch the first 2 seasons of Superman the Animated Series without the third. It's just like, I'm just buying the Blu-ray series so I can just watch I've got the normal set on DVD, obviously, as well. But I'm just confused. I'll just put the DVD in, press play at least, and know it's there. Oh, that's frustrating. So, Stephen, so where can everyone find you to not only support yourself, but obviously support your podcast?
Sure. Well, you can find the Saturday Morning Superman Show on Instagram and Twitter if you want to follow our social media pages. I run those, and whenever we're doing a season or we have episodes that are coming out, I always have a lot of fun interacting with people and just sharing different things from the history of Superman and animation. On Instagram, it's at Saturday Morning Superman Show. That's where you can follow us. There is the Saturday Superman Show, but I would just like to make mention that that's a backup account. It was probably sometime after we did our episode together last summer that I was locked out of Saturday Morning Superman Show for almost the whole entire summer. And it was a nightmare of a time because everything that I had cultivated it seemed like it was just going to be lost and that I'd have to start all over again. And I'm sorry, but the customer service on Instagram is not great at all. You can't get to anybody. So while I was locked out of the account, I had to create a backup one, and I don't post anything on there. But to this day, I still get people that are following, and it's like, oh man, you're following this one, but you should be following the other one. So those of you that are listening right now, if you want, please follow at Saturday Morning Superman Show on Instagram. You could also find us on Twitter, which I believe is at Sat Superman Show. Yeah. If you type in Saturday Morning Superman Show, you'll find it. I'm sure Nathan will be good enough to put it in the show notes. Yeah. And then if you want to listen to the podcast, you can find that on Podbean, CastBox, Stitcher, or Spotify. I really, really love Podbean. It's an app that you don't really need to buy, you don't really need to download. I know a lot of times people hear podcasts and they immediately are, oh, I don't know how to listen to a podcast. Podbean is very, very user-friendly. If you even follow us on Instagram or Twitter, or you were to even Google Saturday Morning Superman Show, you'll find Podbean, and you can listen to it without even having to download anything. If you just want to listen to it without even interacting. So I highly recommend checking out Podbean. And hopefully you'll enjoy what we have to offer just as much as the Superman animated podcast.
Yeah, and like I said earlier on, if you haven't listened to Stephen and Justin's podcast, I strongly recommend it. I'm always there, even though it's a little bit delayed. Like when you release it on Saturday, it's Sunday for me, but I love it nonetheless. And I love the fact that, like I said, you not only you talk about Superman in animation across generations, and I love the fact that you love Superman in all forms, just like myself. And I love the fact that we can come together and do these podcasts together. It's always a lot of fun. And I know we're going to come together again in the future. And I can't wait.
Me too. I was super excited when you invited me to do this. I can't believe it's already over. So I'm definitely looking forward to when we can do this again. And my invitation and offer of doing a special season of Superman, the Saturday Morning Superman show, where we talk about season one and we do commentary on those episodes. I'd really love to do that with you. That's something that we got to talk about and begin working on, because I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. And that would almost be like a Christmas present come true. And I'll be there for 2022. Even this year, if you want to start, I'm there for you.
That'd be great.
2-3 o'clock in the morning. Like I said to you before, I'm there. I'm up. I'll wake up. If I want to talk about Superman the Animated Series any time of the day, I'm there, mate. So you can count me in.
I'm really excited for it, because the thing is, you've made mention that you have Superman Animated Series on Blu-ray. I was really grateful to find the Blu-ray, and I was able to pick it up. But I, as of this moment, have still not even opened it. It's still fully sealed. So I'm really excited to watch it truly for the first time in Blu-ray.
Yep.
That's something that I haven't even done yet. But I would love to commemorate that and celebrate as I re-watch these episodes with doing that with you. So just you watch. We'll probably end up doing those episodes, and this season that we'll be working on will be out before the Ruby Spears one.
That'd be awesome. As we mentioned before, the fact that you had the Tim Daly interview sitting there for 6 months, and the fact that you couldn't you released it in September, I have so much, the fact you held it for that long was just that. Yeah, it's almost like when you open up, someone's bought you something for Christmas. You know what it is. You don't want to wait till Christmas to open it up. You just want to open up, start taking the wrappings off, and go hell for leather. That's almost what you had to do for you.
it's exactly what I did. And I've been so, I just want to make mention, season 3 of the Saturday Morning Superman show, again, it's not out yet. We're really looking at an early 2022 release date. I like to say January, because that's when I'm hoping that we can start getting it out, but it's definitely going to be sometime in early 2022. Yeah. It's the season that I've had the most fun recording. I'm very proud of season 3. I love the way it sounds. I like the commentary that Justin and I have provided for it. And we've just really enjoyed watching it. And for us, this is really like the first time watching it. So as you listen to the episodes, keeping in mind that it's really like the first time that I'm experiencing it, there's a real joy that I have in watching those episodes and talking about them. So I'm very eager for people to hear this season, because it is going to be a little bit different than what we've done previously, but hopefully just as fun. So stay tuned for that. It's an animated show that if you have any opportunity to watch in any kind of way, even if it's available on YouTube and in bootleg ways or whatever, I highly recommend checking it out, because it's such a great version of Superman, and it holds up remarkably well. And it's just, it's something worth celebrating.
Yeah, I totally agree. And as you said, watch out for early 2022 for your podcast. And I'll obviously pass on that through my social media channels as well. So you'll obviously, if you can't find Stephen, you'll just look at my social media channels and you'll see the last releases of Stephen's podcast. But as for me, you can find the podcast on Twitter at SupAnimatedPod or the MWord81. You can find us at Facebook at the MWord81. You can also jump on the webpage at www.themword81.com, where I talk things Superman, DC, Marvel, Ninja Turtles, and Star Wars. Or you can send us an email at themword81@yahoo.com. So, Steve, thanks very much again for coming on the podcast. I know it's getting a little bit late over there from where you are, but it's so great to talk to you, mate, and I can't wait to have you on again when we talk about Legacy later on in the season.
I'm looking forward to it, Nathan. Thank you so much.
All right, once again, thank you very much for listening. Tune in next time for Superman, the Animated Podcast. The new theme music for Superman the Animated Podcast is called Super Epic by Alexander Nakarenda. You can find this at serpentsoundstudios.com, and the music is promoted by chozik.com.